common at Dad's point of view. That's right, B. Sal, he knows what's cool. He's now got his own.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show at Dad's Point of View. You can email me at bruce@bruceallen.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Bruce Allen, and I'm on Facebook and I'm on Google Plus. We have Dr. Jennifer Weberman with us for some therapy talk. She's a psychologist and parent coach with over a decade of experience helping children, teens, and parents empower themselves in positive ways. She's been affectionately referred to as the Super Nanny of Springfield, as she has helped hundreds of families restore peace to their homes. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Weberman.
I missed you. I'm calling you from the northeastern blizzard over here.
Yeah, well, it's about 75 degrees and clear and sunny here, so, you know, I'm not trying to rub it in or anything.
I don't even want to hear it.
So, we get a health and welfare update on baby Drew from Pastor Sam's. Now I want a health and welfare update on your baby in your belly.
She is doing so good. I remember the last time I spoke to you, I said she was kicking, and that is nothing compared to what I have been feeling this week. I was literally lying on my back last night in bed, and I have this big, fluffy, think winter comforter laying over my belly, and all of a sudden, I see the comforter just kind of going right and left and up and down, and I'm like, holy moly!
Oh, my God. Did you get any of it on video?
We are going to try to do that this weekend. It seems like every time we turn a camera on, she all of a sudden stops.
Right, of course. She gets shy. She's shy in front of a camera.
Opposite of her mommy.
Oh, that's so funny. So do we have any big Valentine's Day plans?
You know, the only thing we've got going on tomorrow is a sonogram. But that's pretty exciting.
A sonogram for Valentine's Day. We could wrap it up in a bouquet.
Well, they do give you those pictures that they print out now. They're all fancy now. So
I think you should put it in a heart-shaped frame.
There could be no better Valentine's gift than for the doctors to say that everything looks good tomorrow.
So is the sonogram just a standard procedure? We're not concerned about anything?
No, but, you know, in this time now, they do it like every 2 or 3 weeks at the end of the pregnancy. They just really monitor things highly.
Standard
protocol.
All right. Well, I'm glad all is well. So what do you think about my column this week and our kids' awareness of both the decadence and deprivation in the world?
Oh, I thought it was so interesting. First of all, just to learn about your trip and some of the things that you saw, but the contrast of wealth and poverty, and, you know, it begs the question of, you know, how much our children in this country can appreciate how lucky we are to have what we have. And can you really appreciate something if you've never lived without it? I found this really great quote online. It said, "Privilege brings with it the luxury of obliviousness." Mm. And I thought that was pretty interesting perspective, and it applies so well to our culture. You know, last year when we had Hurricane Sandy, we were without power some of us were without power for a few weeks, over a month. And in that time, I remember my appreciation for adjusting the thermostat and taking a hot shower and, you know, being able to turn the lights on instead of using a flashlight increased immensely during the times where I didn't have it. But then when we got it back, you know, you appreciate it in the beginning, and then life returned to business as usual. And I don't think about it every time I flick on and off the light switch, how grateful I am to have electricity. And so there's this thing in psychology called the adaptation level phenomenon, which means that your satisfaction is relative to your recent experiences. So in other words, you know, picture I make a certain amount of money, and then I get an increase in my income, and I temporarily feel satisfied because it's a surplus, it's extra, it's more than what I'm used to. But eventually that becomes the new normal. I adapt to it.
Right,
it just
right.
becomes and I need more of something to get the same level of satisfaction. And so you think about upgrading your television set to the next big screen TV, the next size. Initially, it's like so exciting. And then after a year, you're like, I need a new TV, or I need a new iPhone, or whatever it is. And the kids that we're raising in this culture are so super saturated by stuff.
Yes.
Stuff that we never had growing up. And, you know, if you want them to be able to appreciate that, parents really need to go out of their way to teach that, to combat the external influences, because it's so easy for them to just say, this is just what is,
and we need to show them. They have to physically experience it. whether it's going to a homeless shelter or a children's cancer ward or a trip like I went on, although I don't think I would take young kids on a trip like I went on, but teenagers like Pastor Drew was talking about can get so much from it. By the way, what did you call that psychological term?
The adaptation level phenomenon.
Okay, I have a much more technical term that I use to describe the same thing. It's called the 20% theory. And what it is no matter what it is you want or buy or have, so if you want to buy a house and you have a budget of $200,000, the house you really want is $240,000. If you're making $75,000, you're not satisfied until you make $90,000. And the same applies then when you get back up. Okay, now you've got a bigger house and you have a budget of $1 million and you go looking for houses and the only houses you really like are the ones that are $1.2 million. It's my 20% theory, which of course is much more profound and deep and scientific than the one you mentioned, some adaptation significance theory. I forgot what you said.
Oh, it's so true. We can just be slightly out of our reach what we really want. And it's because so often we're comparing ourselves to what we perceive other people to have. And we see the people who want, you know, who have more, and we want what they have. And we don't often look enough at the people who have less and feel the gratitude for what we have.
Well, you know, it's funny. Thank God in my life, I actually am doing this on a regular basis. I sometimes just look around my life, my home where I'm living, and I go, wow. And when I got divorced, I had to downsize a lot. And I went from a very, very fancy home to a very modest home relative to our standards. And what I actually took away from that was more intimacy, because the boys and I were literally physically closer. In the other house, we had intercoms and we had a shout to hear one another. Now we were on top of one another. And I found in an odd way, I gave it a positive spin, thank God, which is we felt closer, especially during what I call the dark days of the divorce, where there were so many things that were uncertain, where their mother was not around very much. So you have a choice. You can be unbelievably unhappy when, you know, things happen like that, or you can always live wanting more. And I think we have to be grateful when we have the good things, including our health. And not always want more. It's live today. I mean, and it's a powerful lesson. And I've got it. It's taken me a long time to really be grateful on a daily basis. But it's important to teach our children this.
It's the power of perspective. Exactly what you just said. It has nothing to do with what we have or don't have. It's how we view it.
Absolutely.
And the power of perspective is what makes us happy or dissatisfied, not what we actually have or don't have.
You know, look at your own journey. Okay, you wanted to get pregnant for a while. It didn't happen. And then when you finally did, it's got to be just you are so much more powerfully, you know, grateful than if, you know, you had just gotten pregnant on your first effort.
I absolutely agree with that. I can't compare my experience to anyone else's, but I know that what I feel in my heart about this pregnancy is so influenced by the journey that it took us to get here. It's made me so much more grateful for the baby and for the science and medicine that's available now to help women like me and how our bodies work. I mean, I'm just in awe of God's influence over all of this. It's amazing.
I often think about how grateful I am to live in the times that I have that have given all of the people in my life leases on life that they might not have otherwise had. So it's also true. We're nearly out of time. Any, you know, last words? And of course, please let our listeners know where they can find you.
Sure. I had four tips that I was going to give to parents, but let me just focus on one. Something that's interesting that you can do for children is teach them to divide their allowance into three categories: save, spend, and donate. So in addition to doing the community outreach and things like that, you can teach their children to divide a piece of their allowance to charitable contributions and you know, research those with your children so that they know who they're donating to and what kinds of causes they're helping. And that can really foster that kind of appreciation.
Oh, give me another one. Give me another one of those tips.
Limit exposure to commercials. Our culture teaches wanting. We are taught to want things that we don't have, and no matter what we have, we're taught to want more, and commercials are all about doing that. So if you limit your exposure to commercials for young children, you can help tailor that.
Excellent, excellent. And where can my listeners find you?
So the blog is theparentingplayground.com, and we have a Facebook page under the same name. And on Twitter, I am dr_Weberman, and I'm at Dad Chat on Thursday nights.
Terrific. And you have a very big list of blogs to write, my dear.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so behind.
Well, thank you very much. I hope you'll be able to join us next week if the weather permits, since that is a big problem where you are. And I look forward to seeing you with Dad Chat. Listeners, stay tuned for some closing remarks after these messages.
What did they do just when everything looked so dark?